T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're with Mike Didio at Blake's. We're in the tap room right now. And for those that come in, what is the experience like in the tasting room? It has this great rustic feel. Like I feel like I am at, you know, an almost century-old apple orchard.
This particular facility, especially for the tasting room, this barn has been here for you know, 50 years, going unused. So you kind of have that rustic feel. Gives you the feel of the farm. We got a great patio now with a lot of extra space, especially when it comes to fall. We're allowed to, you know, we're able to accommodate a lot more people out here, you know, making it more efficient for people to be able to sit down, get some food, and get some cider. And then ultimately, I think our staff is very well versed in what we're doing and what we're making, and can really educate the consumer.
You're in charge of distribution. What's been the progression of that process? I mean, y'all are everywhere, 16 states up and down the Eastern Seaboard and the Midwest. Mm-hmm. How did that develop, and where does that go?
I think our relationships with our Michigan wholesalers really helped to start that off. They were really behind our product. They believed in what we were trying to do. They dealt with any issues we had in the past on getting product out on a timely fashion. I think that word travels very quickly throughout that distribution network. Also, we've been very lucky, you know, with our bigger retailer partners. The Meijers and the Krogers of the world have brought us outside of Michigan into their footprint. And then when you're going into, you know, a territory or a new territory, and you have that chain activation, that allows that consumer to find your product a lot easier. And I think our team, as far as our sales team throughout 16-state footprint, are fantastic. I think we have a great team that we've put together that really knows our product, pushes it well, and is able to educate that consumer on what cider is and why it's different than, you know, those macro ciders out there.
Well, and that's one of the things that's so difficult in the craft beer or cider, in the craft alcohol world, is fighting for shelf space.
Yeah.
And so being able to be in those bigger stores, like you mentioned, like a Meijer, that really has to help, because you can't just walk in and say, no, you know, I'd like to put my product right here.
Yeah, and that comes from the top, you know, and that's Andrew and my boss, Scott, really working hard at, you know, setting those presentations for those big retailers. But, you know, in the long run, you know, those independent retailers are just as important, but that's how that filters down. They see that success at the chain level. You know, if you talk Southeastern Michigan, it's pretty much split 50-50 on sales between independents and chain, and that's pretty phenomenal, and that says a lot about our independent retailers and how much they actually provide for our brand and support that brand.
We're sitting at a table. There are 7 ciders in front of us. How would you describe the core ciders, the Fidos, the Flannel Mouth, the Grizzly Pear? How would you describe the everyday? I don't want to call them everyday,
sure,
but the cider I can find every day.
Yeah, no, I think that's one thing we've done well as a brand, is we've taken our portfolio as far as ciders go and really spread the variety out. You know, we have super fruited and a little sweeter and tart with Traffic Jam. You know, with Flannel Mouth, we have that classic sweet apple that you're used to drinking on the cider mill. You know, with Beard Bender, that's the opposite of that, and we have that dry. You know, the Fidos and our seasonals and our kinder ciders, that's where we really can kind of step outside of the box with, you know, hop raspberry grapefruit, or with Rainbow Seeker, we did the pineapple sage, where we can kind of introduce some different flavors. You know, we jumped into the rosé game to that was an extremely popular portion of the cider SKUs last year and still this year. Being able to show our customers some variety, you know, and uniqueness, like El Chavo with habanero mango, that's the one that we see that's super popular when we step outside of Michigan, is that El Chavo. It's something that nobody's ever made before, introduced peppers into a cider. And I think that's what, you know, you asked that question earlier, what sets us apart. And I think keeping that variety throughout our year-rounds and our kinders is the way to go.
You mentioned the kinders,
mm-hmm,
and I love this concept, because not only does it deliver an excellent beverage, but it gives back. What was the inspiration behind that concept?
Andrew and his family have always been extremely philanthropic. You know, they donate thousands.
Andrew Blake.
Yeah,
Blake.
Andrew and his dad, his uncle Pete and Paul, always have been donating, always giving back to the community. We give thousands of pounds of food to Forgotten Harvest, and I think Andrew wanted to find a way to translate that into, you know, the hard cider business. Some passionate nonprofits that he wanted to work with, supporting the LGBTQ community was big for us with Rainbow Seeker. That was the first one that kind of kicked it off, and we're like, hey, this not only works as a great marketing tool for us to show support locally in markets we're not a local product, and then Fido with Pets for Patriots, and then we got a new one coming down the road for the wintertime where we're actually partnering with the Empowerment Plan based out of Detroit that makes the jackets that turn into sleeping bags for the homeless. So we're very excited. It's just the idea of being able to take our success story and help these nonprofits and selling alcohol for a good cause, it makes it a little bit more fun. And I think it makes it fun for the consumer as well when they see that.
Like I said, there are 7 ciders in front of me, mm-hmm. but there are also 5 beers in front of me.
Yeah.
And you guys have branched out into making beer itself. The progression obviously is natural. How does Blake's Hard Cider translate into a Hef or the Marzen or the Top Hop?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just, you know, like you said, a natural progression. Being in Armada, you know, and being a smaller community out in northern Macomb County, I mean, finding a way to accommodate any consumer that walks into our tap room, I think we needed to make stuff that other people wanted to drink other than wine and cider. Or, you know, we're not really providing for our consumer in a way that makes sense. And that's really where this brew system came by. And, you know, we hired the correct people back in production that actually could run that brew system and we trust to do it. But ultimately, I mean, we've been fermenting products for 5 years. There's no reason why, you know, we can't step into the beer world. And just finding, you know, those varieties of beer within the craft beer world that are drinkable. We're using local products. We're making an honest product that's not overly priced. You know, we're not trying to blow the doors off of craft beer because we are a cidery. But being able to provide something a little different to the market, I think, was really the idea behind that. I think they're all good, clean beers.
Mike, you talk about accommodating all customers or doing your best to accommodate as many as possible.
Yeah.
One of the revolutions as of late, it's been building, but it really hit this summer, was the hard seltzer, and you guys have a variation on your cider that plays into that. You know, one of the things I thought was interesting is, while that's new for you, it's not a new idea for you guys. You've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah. So we talked about, you know, we saw the hard seltzer thing happening. Obviously, that fits, you know, within our consumer that usually drinks a cider, you know, that 25 to 35 range, you know, primarily female. You know, so we had to find a way to either compete or find a way to do something different. We talked about it for a year, bouncing back and forth between a true light cider, as we call it, or going with a fermented sugar product and making a seltzer. And, I mean, ultimately, we wanted to stick to our guns. And, you know, we have the juice available. Why not make something that fits with our character and what we're doing in the market? And, yeah, so we basically just made a bone dry, you know, fermented cider with zero sugar and 100 calories. And, you know, we add some flavoring to that, some natural flavoring to that, to give it some sense of sweetness without artificial sweetener. And we just launched this back in August, and we're still trying to figure out, you know, did we make the right flavors? Are we making the right thing for the consumer? But ultimately, we're pretty happy with that product, and the feedback's been pretty positive at this point.
One of the things I learned on our tour of the facility was that your guys back in the facility, the men and women back there, you give them extra time, you pay them extra time to experiment, to try new things. And I look at all the different products you have, and I have to think that part of the reason that you guys have been so successful is that there's an atmosphere of fostering creativity.
Yes.
And to actually pay somebody extra money to play around, you just don't see that all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, you know, one thing that Andrew and our team as a sales team, you know, from the top down as advocate, is we want to be a leader in this category, you know, not only in Michigan, not only regionally, but, you know, and at some point in time nationally. And how do we get to that point? And it's, you always have to be either above the trends or before the trends or finding something new, allowing those guys to take their talents and experiment for a couple hours extra a week. I think that pays huge dividends. You know, we've been able to pull, like Fido, for example, you know, we had our, you know, one of our cider makers playing around with hops, and that's where the idea between a hop, raspberry, grapefruit came from. He made 4 or 5 different hop ciders and came down to all of us tasting it and figuring out which formula we like the best. I think without that, you stay stagnant. And if we're going to be a lead brand in this category, we have to be, you know, on top of those trends are finding new ways to make cider that somebody else didn't.
Pulling on that idea of not being stagnant, y'all have seen just explosive growth over the last, I don't know, 5 years. What is next? Whether it's in a year or 10 years, y'all have such a momentum streak going right now. How does that carry y'all forward?
You know, continuing to educate that consumer on our brand outside of Michigan, I think, is a big deal for us. We're going to finish this year being pretty darn close to beating Angry Orchard sales in the state of Michigan. That was our goal at the beginning of the year, was to own our own state. You know, you see other successful regional craft cideries that own their own state. We wanted to do that, and I think that next step is finding a way to own the Midwest. How do we become the cider of the Midwest? Through innovative juice, through practical sales results, managing our wholesalers and our partners really well, and finding a way to make us a household name throughout those, you know, five or six states that are in the Midwest. And I think that really is going to pull us outside of that. Do we start to head west and you know, or south, farther south? Just finding that correct footprint. But it all has to make sense, too. You know, we don't want to just open up territories just to open up territories. We want to focus on where we're at and how we can be better there.
For those of us here in Michigan, we can find this almost anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, any of your local retailers, like I said, I mean, your big retailers, Kroger and Meijer, are great partners with us, but you still want to support your independent retailers as well as they support us. Like I said, I mean, if you're not finding our product, just ask for it. We're distributed through the entire state of Michigan, you know, and obviously very, very saturated in southeastern Michigan. If you can't find it, that means I'm not doing my job right. but you can always ask, that's for sure.
One more, because, and I've noticed you've said it a few times, you really push on the independents,
yeah,
on the one-off bars,
mm-hmm,
and to me, and I'm ignorant, that, not counterintuitive, but I would think you would lean heavier on the Meijers, the Krogers, and,
yeah,
and not that they're not important, but
sure.
I, that keeps coming up. You've said it,
yeah,
three or four times.
Well,
now,
I mean, you especially in Metro Detroit, I mean, you can't throw a stone and not hit a party store. And I think that's it's unique from me being able to travel outside of different territories where it's mostly chain heavy or it's super state regulated as far as alcohol goes. In Michigan alone, especially southeastern Michigan, we have so many of these independent retailers that love to support our brand, and it's a neighborhood store. You know, there's a reason why there's one every stone's throw away, is because, you know, those same people from that neighborhood are going there, and that's how you create your fans. The folks shopping at a chain aren't necessarily always there to buy alcohol. You go to the party store, you're getting a case of beer, you're getting a case of cider, you're getting a six-pack of cider, your favorite craft beer. When they're positioning our product and supporting us with POS on that level, you really can't ask for more, and that's really what's going to drive your brand to another spot. Same thing with your independently owned restaurants and bars. You know, you're able to create a different relationship there on a more human level than, you know, a corporate pitch, basically. As important as Kroger and Meijer are, you know, those independents are just as important, if not a little bit more sometimes.
Like Mike says, Blake's Hard Cider, find it anywhere. Hey, Mike, thanks for the time.
I appreciate you guys, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.